What I'm going to say this morning affects all of our lives. In fact, in this day and age right now, that men and women could be doing a lot more than they are doing for the kingdom of God. Could be doing more for the kingdom of God than they are doing at the present time. What a God we serve, a mighty God. And that doesn't mean that you do not love God. It doesn't mean that you do not care for Him. That's not what I'm talking about. You know, there's days on the job that you really feel like getting something done, and there's days you go into work and you just really don't care if it gets done or not. Just that mood that you're in. Just the way it is. There's times I come in my office and there's just a lot of things to do. And I can sit down in my chair and say, I don't care if I do one thing or not. And I'm telling you the truth. I'm confessing to you. And there's other days, there's not enough hours in the day to get what I want to get done. Just doesn't, not enough time. But I think in our spiritual walk with God is that we have to come to understanding is that God wants us to be up and about our Father's business. We've got businesses, we got things, but His business. If you have your Bible or your electronic tablet, you got a Bible app on that, would you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 17 through 22? 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 17 through 22. Souls. That's why God came, robed Himself in flesh, to feel what you feel, what humanity feels, what humanity goes through. Yet the important thing was to break the chain of sin. To break the chain of sin. I thought about what John had said. Behold the Lamb that taketh away the sin. He didn't say sins. He said the sin of the world. I thought about that oftentimes. What do you mean, the sin? Could he meant take away the devil because he's the creator of all sin? And he did. He became victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Grave couldn't hold him. He came out of that grave. Able to take care of the sin of the world. Leaves you and I in a place of responsibility to keep it going further and more victorious. 1 Samuel chapter 10, starting verse 17. And Samuel called the people together unto the Lord to Mizpah, and said unto the children of Israel, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all the kingdoms and of them that oppress you. Ever felt oppressed? God wants to bring you up out of that land of oppression. And ye have this day rejected your God. Have you ever felt like you rejected God? Who himself saved you out of all your adversaries and your tribulations? Why is it that when God does such good things for us, we sometimes reject him or resist him? When it is him who brings you out of all your distresses and all your problems and difficult things. And ye have said unto him, nay, but set a king over us. Now, therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Martha was taken, and Saul the son of Kish was taken. And when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should yet come thither. In other words, where's Saul? We've taken him. We've chosen him. We want him to be our king. Where's he at? And the Lord answered, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, I've got too much stuff. Now, this passage of Scripture intrigues me. It really does. It is, of course, the time of Israel's history that God is going to acquiesce to their desire for an earthly king. And he's chosen Saul to be the king over this people. And what intrigues me is this: God chose Saul, anointed Saul, and had a work for Saul to do. But when the time came for Saul to keep what God called him to do, to step forward and accept the calling of God on his life, he was hiding among the stuff. Now, the word stuff is a catch-all phrase in our vernacular, in our language today. It encompasses many things. It becomes one of those items that we use when we can't find a more specific word to describe an object. You know, a bunch of stuff. Or, we did a lot of stuff. What did you do? Well, we did a lot of stuff. Or, I have so much stuff to do today. Well, what do you got to do today? Just stuff. We're all surrounded by stuff. And I think it's interesting that this term is used in the Scripture to describe Saul's position when God called him to be king over Israel. I think it's quite interesting. God called us in one hope of our calling, but sometimes he can't find us, because we too are hid among the stuff. The Bible doesn't say that he was hiding among the herd. Doesn't say that he was hiding in the crops of the field, or in his house, or in between his fellow soldiers. It just implies that there was a lot of nameless, unimportant clutter among which this man who would be king had hidden himself, or bruised himself, or surrounded himself with just stuff. The Hebrew word here is keli, which means instrument or stuff. In other words, there's no definition, no term for the word stuff. It simply means different things. In the dictionary, Webster's dictionary, it defines stuff as a person's portable property, effects, baggage, belongings, gear. I like this one, junk. How many's got too much junk? How much stuff? Amen? How many builds a garage and fill it with stuff? You can't get a car in there. I've got a husband pointing a finger at his wife and his wife pointing a finger at her husband in this congregation right now. You build a garage is for the car, not stuff. It's an ambiguous term used in many different ways, but in most cases, it describes the things with which we busy ourselves on a daily basis. You can busy yourself with your iPhone. You can busy yourself with your iPad. You can busy yourself just daydreaming. Stuff. What are you daydreaming about? Just stuff. Just stuff. What's on your iPhone? Stuff. You know, all those apps are just stuff. I've got an app for weather. First thing I do, I get up in the morning time, hit my iPhone, hit the weather app. I'm looking at the weather. Well, I'm going to be cold today. I'm going to be really miserable. It's going to be a high of 19. So I start my day out with my stuff feeling miserable and cold. And I'm not even out of the house yet. Okay? It's used 16 times in the scripture. And in every case, it describes material possessions, stuff. It describes the things which a person can become encumbered easily. You know, you can be encumbered with your iPhone. Taking up with that. Used to be picking on people in the congregation with the checkbook. They was figuring the checkbook out. Now it's just, I'm messing with my iPhone. Not even one amen. Not one hallelujah. Not, you're right on it, Pastor. You're really preaching now. You're getting down to the bare bones. That's, thank you, Lord, for telling me that. Why is it in the midst of God's moving presence, we just get caught up with stuff? Huh? Stuff. We just do. Stuff in and of itself is not inherently good, or is it bad? It's just we get caught up with stuff. Where stuff becomes a problem is when it hides us from God. In other words, you get too busy with your stuff. You get too caught up with your stuff. What are you doing? I'm just going through my stuff. And so we get so caught up with our stuff, we can't hear the voice of God. We're relying on our stuff to speak to us. Stuff to guide us. Stuff to give us the direction we need to go in. It is still God's Spirit that leads and guides us into all truth. It's not just stuff that leads us. It is God's Spirit that leads us and guides us into all truth. Stuff keeps us from fulfilling our purpose in God. Let's look at the stuff in the scripture that keeps people from fulfilling their calling. For Gehazi, it was Naaman's gold. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 26. And he said unto him, went not my heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive gardens and vineyards and sheep and oxygen and manservants and maidservants and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? And so here was a man that was caught up with stuff. And the end result was stuff ruined his life. Rich young ruler. It was his riches. In Luke 18, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? You know the story. Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Notice here, that he said, you already know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father, thy mother. And he said, all these things have I kept from my youth up. Now, when Jesus heard this, he said to him, yet thou lackest one thing. One thing he couldn't depart from, and that was his stuff. You may call riches riches, but really riches are just stuff, because you can't take riches with you to heaven. You send everything ahead of you to heaven. You send your treasures on ahead of you to heaven. And the rich young ruler went away sorrowfully because he couldn't depart from his stuff. Stuff kept him from following Jesus and possibly becoming one of the apostles. For Agrippa, it was his position. Acts 26, 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I'd like to follow this Jesus, but there's some stuff in my way. I'd have to give up my position, and it might be me standing before the authorities instead of you, Paul. So I just can't afford to get rid of my stuff, my position, my authority. So consequently, we know the story there. For Felix, it was his busyness. We can be so busy. Acts 24, verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come to Felix, trembled and answered, go thy way, for this time when I have a convenient season, I will call thee, because I just got too much stuff going on in my life. If I ask you how many want to go to heaven this morning, there'd be hands raised across this congregation. But yet we understand is, I would do more for God, but I'm just too entangled with my stuff. I like to serve God, but I'm too busy right now, and it's not convenient. Maybe some other time, some other Sunday, some other moment. Can I tell someone here this morning, time is running out. Jesus is closer than when he ever has been. He's coming for a church that's made themselves ready. What do you mean, Pastor? A church that's not caught up with stuff. For Demas, it was this present world. Whatever the reason, it was just stuff that kept people from following Jesus. Ambiguous, nameless, unimportant, and non-eternal stuff. What a day we're living in. What a day we're living in. Just stuff everywhere. Let's look at people who rid themselves of stuff to follow God's purpose. Elisha, 1 Kings 19, verse 19 through 21. So he departed thence and found Elijah the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he went with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. There's not a one of us in this building this morning that God did not put his mantle upon. Amen. That mantle is a representation of calling. God called you to salvation. God called you to serve him. God called you to fill a purpose in your life that would be pleasing to the kingdom of God. Yeah. God did that. Yeah. God put a mantle on you. Moses, the riches of Egypt, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 through 26, by faith, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had a respect unto the recompense of the reward. Things in this world are awesome. They're enticing. They can help you in your life. But the final reward in your life is not found on this earth. There are treasures that are laid up in heaven for you, better than anything you've ever had on this earth. And so we look at this, esteeming the things of Egypt or the world, not to compare to things that God has prepared for us. What is the stuff in your life that's keeping you from fulfilling God's purpose this morning? Social status, career advancement. Mark 8:36, for what shall a profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Haggai 1:5-6, now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he hath earned wages, but the bag is with holes. In other words, we can be so encumbered about getting ahead in this life for stuff. And you keep asking yourself, and I'm telling you, I know this to be true in your life, in my life, in all human life. The question is, I work this hard. Why is it that I cannot get ahead? I bust myself. I work from dawn till setting sun. And it seems like the more I work, I'm still not getting ahead. Can I tell you who gives the blessings? Should I remind us who's the one that satisfies the soul? There's only one, and his name is Jesus. We get so encumbered about for the things of this world to get ahead, and we forget about the one who gave his life on the cross of Calvary to die for my sins and your sins, the sins of the world, and yet we fuse, we somehow hide ourselves among the stuff. And when I find a more convenient time, when I get really old and I retire, I have more time for you, God. Let me tell you what I found to be true. If I give myself to him, he gives himself to me. When I give my life to him, he gives his life to me. When I have a need, the consistent need of things in my life, it is when I have been faithful to him in little things, he blesses in the larger scope and the larger schemes of life. Mark 8:3, and whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Is it bitterness or unforgiveness that's cluttering your life and keeping you from fulfilling the will of God? I'm so sad to say that this world has grown more hate. What a society of hate there is. Wars and rumors of wars. Society pitting each other against one another. I would love you, but I can't forgive you. I would love you, but I've got bitterness in my spirit. I've got so much clutter going up, almost we forget about. Clutterness almost seems like this a normal way of life. Is it bitterness and unforgiveness that's cluttering up your life and keeping you from fulfilling the will of God? Mark 11:25-26, and when ye stand praying, forgive. Why is that? It's getting rid of the clutter. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Get the clutter out of the life. Come on, somebody. Come on, get the clutter out of your spirit. Get the clutter out of your life. Why isn't God blessing me? Because you've got so much clutter. So much stuff going on in your spirit. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. When Joseph brought his brothers and father into Egypt, this is what he told them in Genesis chapter 45, verse 19 through 20. Now thou art commanded, this do ye. Take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones, and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Verse 26 becomes so important. You've come here to look for food. You've come to Egypt to look for a place of rescue and hope. Take the wagons. Take the wagons. Take the wagons and go back and get your wives and get your children. Bring your father. Load them in the wagons. But verse 20 becomes the hard-hitting punch. Verse 20 said, also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. All the stuff you've been dragging around with you, don't you load it in the wagons. All that junk you've been carrying around and dragging around, don't you put it into the wagons. Regard not your stuff. I want to tell somebody here this morning, all the stuff you've been dragging around in your life, God wants you to fill your wagons and fill it up with hearts and lives, your family, and bring it all to God. But leave your junk. Amen. Leave your stuff. Amen. Don't you load that stuff up, because we'll not be welcome into heaven. It will not be welcome into the kingdom of God. Just leave your stuff. Don't regard your stuff you've been dragging around with you. Joseph said, in essence, your stuff is not worth bringing into this land. Just leave it at home, because what's here is so much better than what you can ever imagine. God is saying to us, I believe, the stuff not that you think is so important, you can't bring into the promised land. But on top of that, you can't even imagine what is yours in heaven if you won't get bogged down with the stuff here on this earth. Let me follow that up with this. There is nothing that is worth my losing my soul over my stuff. There is no stuff on earth that is so valuable enough to cause me or to cause you to miss heaven. I would do more for Jesus, but I got so much stuff going on. What is it that you're going on? I don't know, just stuff. Be a great church. Well, what's holding you down? Just stuff. There are some people in this congregation that God is calling to ministry. Some in this congregation God is calling you to a greater anointing on your life. A greater life for God's kingdom. But you are distracted by stuff. We're hiding among stuff that's keeping us from fulfilling God's purpose in our lives. Perfect gift coming down from the Father of lights. And we're just entangled with stuff. Let's stand together, shall we? There is nothing that is worth my losing my soul over. Does anyone want to come? Get rid of some stuff. You got any stuff you want to get rid of this morning? One of the hindrances of your life and of any church congregation is their life is cluttered with stuff. Would you lift your hands? Let's love the Lord for a moment of time. Come on. Let Him talk to us this morning. Let Him talk to you what you need to unload. What stuff you need to get rid of in your life. God, what stuff do I need to get rid of to stay in your purpose? Cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for your soul.